Beloved of God, I believe we are in this time of our consecration. Like I said before, the denominations, they look forward to Christmas, but this time is our own Christmas. This time is our own time. We look forward to this time, and when it's coming in the spirit, we begin to rejoice, because we know not only do we want to have the ticket to heaven, but we also arrange our living here on earth. Hallelujah. Beloved of God, this time is not the time to pray fall and die prayer. I believe our enemies now, they are resting from the arsenals and the weapons. You fire them every day. Now they are resting with this. They are saying, where have this Brother Okeke gone to? Since 5 days now, we've not received any attack. They are wondering. This is the time to sharpen ourselves, our time, the time to look inward, and the time to make our calling and election sure. And it's a very beautiful time to study the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's a time not to read, but to study the Word of God. Because it's the amount of the Word you have in the inside that will help you when you receive this Holy Ghost, or that will help you to shaping the way you walk here on earth. Hallelujah. So very briefly, before we pray, we want to look into the Word of God. I will want you passionately follow the things I will bring out just very briefly, and understand how to know and study the Word of God. It's very, very important. So follow us as we dive into this Word and take that which the Lord wants for us tonight. Please let us be on our feet as we pick up our text very quickly from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Please, let's be on our feet. Let's honor the word of the Lord. When a nation is taking their national anthem, wherever you are supposed to stand up. And there are countries, it's also a crime when the national anthem is going, you don't stand up. It's a crime. So let's take our text from the book of Philippians chapter 3, from verse 8 to 11. And we will go to the book of Luke chapter 11, 11 to 13. We digest this word. Like I said, it's the time to look inwardly into the word of the Lord, and allow this word to shape in us in the name of Jesus. Okay, I read. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let us quickly go to the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke chapter 11. Let's take 11 to 13 very quickly. I read. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13. For if then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, Jehovah, creator of the heavens and the earth, we are so blessed to have you as a father, and also knowing, Jehovah, you've given us an open check, not only to receive the Spirit, but to ask of the Spirit. You make comparison with our earthly fathers, and of a truth, there is no one that has asked his father for a bread, and in exchange, serpent was given. Daddy, we thank you for this time that we are only asking of the Holy Spirit, and you've assured us through your word that if we ask, that you will grant it unto us. Papa, we beg of you, watch our hearts and do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Please, I will beg you, forget your troubles, forget your trials, forget the activities or the challenges you've gone through today. But let's just take a little time to ponder the word of God, the word that is more able to transform our life, the word that is able to make this exercise we are undergoing more easier than the physical man. Hallelujah. The book of Philippians, where we just read, is a loaded book of the scriptures. The book of Philippians is a loaded book of the scriptures. And I really don't want to dive into the statement Apostle Paul made, which we will ponder into. I want us to have a balance of how the book of Philippians came about. As a Christian, don't dive into any episode of Apostle Paul. Don't just open into any of his writings without you first of all understanding the rudiments behind the writing. If you don't get the purpose why that episode was written, you will never digest or understand what that episode is for. Now that we are undergoing our consecration, use your time very well by first of all, when you open the epistles of Apostle Paul or open the writings of the scripture, try to know what triggered the writing of that scripture. It didn't just come just like that. For example, the book of 1 Corinthians came about because of some conflict in the church of Corinthians. So if the conflict was not there, most probably Apostle Paul may not have written the book of 1 Corinthians. A family in the church of the Corinthians, when the problem was going on, quickly ran to Apostle Paul, the Chloe family, the family of Chloe, and said to Apostle Paul, in our church there is a problem, there is division. Some has departed to be for Paul. Some say they are for Apollos. Some say they are baptized in Jesus' name. Some say they are baptized in this. Apostle Paul, what are we going to do? This family narrated to Apostle Paul the happenings that was happening in the book in the church of Corinthians. And that was what necessitated Paul writing that letter to the church of Corinthians as we have today. Now, as a Christian, you are looking at that very scripture of Corinthians, you know how that book came about. That is to solve a problem in the church. Hallelujah. With this knowledge, I want us to dive in little about the loaded book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is so loaded, it's so loaded. Among the writings of Apostle Paul, I like the book of Philippians, so powerful. Now, what brought about the book of Philippians was when Apostle Paul was arrested and tried in the local places, and they sent him to Rome in prison. He was there in Rome in prison, and the church of the Philippians that Apostle Paul founded in his second missionary journey, the church of Corinthians was founded in Apostle Paul's second missionary journey with Silas, with Timothy, and probably with Dr. Luke. That was in AD 55, 56. That was when Apostle Paul founded the Church of Philippians. And the Church of Philippians was the first European church that was founded by Apostle Paul. The Philippian church was the first European church that was founded by Apostle Paul himself and Silas. Now, when you look at Philippians, the way Philippians, the church of Philippians came about was out of revelation. That church came, Apostle Paul went to Philippians out of revelation. I want you to give me Acts 16 from verse 6. Apostle Paul, in his missionary journey, was going somewhere, but the Spirit kept on stopping him from going. Acts 16 from verse 6. He said, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatians, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they assailed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Two times now. Two times Apostle Paul has tried to make move to other countries, but the Spirit suffered them not. Verse 8. He said, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed Paul, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Let me have verse 10. And after he has seen this vision, immediately we, now the will, you see, I said probably Luke is the writer. So the plural, we, signifies Luke was part of the team. Dr. Luke was part of the team now. He said, we endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, why Paul was trying to make moves of where he wanted to go, the Spirit forbid him not to go. So in the night while he was sleeping, he heard a cry of a man calling from Macedonia, that come down here to help us. And immediately they knew the Lord wanted them to go to Macedonia. Now, Philippines is one of the major cities in Macedonia. Philippines is one of the major cities in Macedonia. And in the map, Philippines is in the northern part of it, of our today Greece. Greece, the Greece we have today, that was where Paul went to. That is why Christianity is so sweet, because when you are reading it, you are seeing physical evidences of the world we have today. John artery that connects the eastern Philippines to the Italy we have today. Italy we have today. So what you are reading in the scripture is actually the locations of the world we are living today. Now, Philippines has a major transportation where they convey things from the eastern part of Philippines and they connect it to our present day Italy. Now, what am I trying to say? Apostle Paul, having gone to Macedonia, went to that main city, he preached the gospel to them. Not only preaching the gospel, he got a very big fish by the name Lydia. Lydia is a very, very influential businesswoman. She deals on clothes, very rich. And later her house was used for the beginning of the gospel in Philippians. The song that we sing, Paul and Silas, they prayed. After praying, they sang. That was the origin. Philippians was the origin of that song. Because after Paul has converted Lydia, Paul has converted the little girl that was giving a soothsaying, that this is Paul. This is Paul, they are from God. Believe them, she used this soothsaying to get money for her master. And immediately Paul cast out that demon. This exercise happened in Philippines, the land of Philippines, the church in Philippines. So I want to give you background as we dive into the knowledge of Paul. Now, when Paul has finished casting out this devil from this little young girl, Paul and Silas were arrested. They were thrown in the prison. And that was where this song we sing today, Paul and Silas, they pray. After praying, they sang. The Holy Ghost came down. It was in Philippines. That was where that exercise happened. And after the Holy Spirit came, opened the gate for them, the jailer thought that they have escaped. The jailer took up knife to kill himself. It was in Philippines that this very thing happened. When the jailer took off knife to kill himself, Paul said, no, don't kill yourself. We have not run. Even though the Holy Spirit has opened the door for us, we are still here. And Paul converted the household of that jailer. Now, the jailer, Lydia, and the soothsayer little girl became one of the pillars of that church that Paul and Silas planted, which we know as the Church of the Philippines. The Church of the Philippines that Paul planted, he left them. That was his second missionary journey, and Paul left and was doing that which the Lord has called him to do. Now, Paul was arrested. He had problem, and they sent him to prison again. He was in prison now in Rome. The church that he planted, that he supposed, as to what we see today, where GOs, they plant church, they begin to demand tithe and offering. Everything that is done in their church that they've planted, you send your tithe and offering to the headquarter. The pastor posts pastors to that place. He pays them salary. I don't know where they saw this pattern, because Apostle Paul planted the church in Philippines. He planted the church in Thessalonica. None of them is bringing tithe and offering to him. None of them was bringing tithe and offering from the service. I don't know where the denominations got that business idea that they injected into the kingdom of our master. Now, when they heard that Paul has been arrested, the church came together. They gathered some little help. They gathered money. They gathered some items. They sent one of their members named Ephraimus. They sent him down to Rome to go and give Paul what they have contributed as a need, not tithe and offering. It wasn't tithe and offering. It was their personal contribution that they sent to meet the need of Paul. And when they brought that to Paul, Paul received that very gift for them in reply, church, in reply of appreciation. That was how the book of Philippians came about. It was Apostle Paul writing to the church he has planted. I received what you people sent to me. I received it. I'm so very, very happy. I never thought you people would go this land to supply me, even in my prison. That was where he said, my God shall supply all your needs. My God shall supply all your needs. It was a prayer. He was praying for them because there is something he received from them, not tithe and offering. And he taught them that when he left to Thessalonica, he said no church communicated to him in the terms of giving and receiving. He said only the Philippian church. That is to say, the churches he planted, they were not sending tithe and offerings to him. They weren't. Apostle Paul said, all those churches he planted, it was only the Philippian church that was only remembering him in his need. Apostle Paul planted churches. Agagio, you planted churches. Are you learning from Apostle Paul? That was the pattern he came in order to appreciate what they've done. Now, we want to look deep into the humility of Apostle Paul. We want to see the things Apostle Paul saw in there and how he portrayed his life in the things of this world. Don't forget, If Apostle Paul has refused to listen to the cry of that young man of Macedonia, remember the cry was, come and help us. The cry was what? Come and help us. And Apostle Paul listened to that cry. He went to help them, not knowing that the help he rendered some years ago, about 5-6 years ago, will later become his own benefits. Apostle Paul went to help the cry of the Macedonian man. He didn't went there because he was expecting something. He did what he's supposed to do by helping them, but Apostle Paul never knew that that help he was rendering them was a means for his own deliverance when he will be arrested some 6 years later. In this time of our consecration is the time also for you to be very, very vigilant to the cry of the needy, to be vigilant to the cry of the poor, because you wouldn't know the seed you sow in wiping away one man's tears, the seed you sow in making sure that somebody doesn't cry, may be what you need in your own time of challenges. Apostle Paul never knew that helping the church going down to Macedonia will be to his deliverance in the time of his needs. Child of God, I want us to look down deep into the saying of Paul. You've seen now the background, how the church of the writing of Philippians came about. It came about as a sign of appreciation for what they have done to Apostle Paul. Let us go down to our text where we took that Philippians chapter 3. Let's look down verse 8 to 11. Philippians 3, 8 to 11. Hallelujah. This is what we need in this time of our consecration. It says, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung that I may win him. It's a race. The people of the world, they run their race where they receive crown of gold, crown of silver. But the race Apostle Paul is running here is the race where he's going to win Christ as his own prize of victory. Verse 9. He said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, my emphasis. Please, I want us to digest verse 10 because I want to make some comments about verse 10 and verse 11. Apostle Paul, in his writing, after he has appraised them, after he's talked good about them, after he said many things, Apostle Paul here in this verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. I beg of you, permit me, can I see NIV translation of verse 10 or the Berean Study Bible of verse 10 or the New Living Translation? Verse 10. If you can get any of these translations, give me verse 10 of your translations. Let me bring up something. I want us to look inside there. Okay, thank you, my sister. Please give her mic. She has a NIV.
Verse 10.
Yes.
Okay, NIV verse 10.
Yes.
I want to know Christ.
Oh, hold it there. What did you say?
I want to know Christ.
I want to know Christ.
Yes, to know the power of his resurrection.
Only the statement there is, I want to know Christ. The King James where we saw they said, that I may know him. So that very statement may be deceiving you, not knowing actually what Paul was saying, because I want to bring up word here. Paul said in that NIV translation, he said, I want to know Christ. and the power of his resurrection. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves, is Paul a new Christian? Has Paul not known Christ before? Why is he not saying, I want to know Christ? On that statement, I am titling this exhortation, Do You Know Him? Do you know him? Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ. Brethren, the time Apostle Paul was making this statement was AD 61. That was the time Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, AD 61. Apostle Paul got converted in AD 34, immediately shortly after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By that calculation, the statement Apostle Paul is making now, is making this statement about 25 years after his conversion as a Christian. After Apostle Paul's journey of 25 years in Christendom, Apostle Paul said, I don't know Christ, I want to know him. How many years have you been in Christ and you think you have known everything about Christ? You are only 2 years in Christendom, and when they tell you things about Christ, you say, I know how my God walked with me. Hey, you are not of Apostle Paul. After 25 years of Apostle Paul being a Christian, Apostle Paul says, I want to know him. And that is what we are doing today. Our pastor has been in the faith for over almost 30 years. But when the Holy Spirit time comes, you will see him asking of the Holy Ghost as if he got converted yesterday. Because we will never finish knowing the things of God until we go for the rapture. When you stop learning about the things of God, you begin to lean. Any day you feel you have known everything about God, you are in trouble. And that is why revelation is progressive, because we can never know everything about God while we are still here on earth. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? The power of his resurrection that he wants to know is the Holy Ghost. The power of the resurrection of Jesus, Apostle Paul wants to, not only does he want to know him, Jesus, he also wants to know what made this Jesus. I read that this Jesus died. I read that he was buried. I have seen also people that died and were buried. They are still in the grave. I want to know the power that brought him up from the grave. The power that brought him up from the grave that Apostle Paul wants to know is the Holy Ghost. That is what we have come, not only to know Christ, but we want to also know the power behind his resurrection. Because before his resurrection, Abel was dead. Before his resurrection, Moses was dead, Abraham was dead. Why didn't they rise up? What was the power that prepared this man to come up from the grave? That is what Apostle Paul wants to know. It is very beautiful, because there are people that were with Jesus for years. They never knew who Jesus was. Peter was with Jesus. The 12 apostles were with Jesus, but they never knew who Jesus was. In the book of Matthew 16, let's see that Matthew 16, so that you can follow suit in what we have to say tonight, because this is the time of our study. When we gather sometimes with our pastor, and he always makes this statement, you people don't know the man you are working with. And that is the truth. That is the truth. We will never know him to the full until the rapture. Because he's a man of revelation. Revelation is a spirit. Where you take the wind this year, before you know the wind has gotten to Sapile. Before you say, ah, daddy, I thought you were here. The spirit has taken him the way he took Philip to Sapile. You can never know him until you begin to follow that speed at which the Lord is granting him revelation. The book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, please help me go down to verse 15. Matthew 16, verse 15. I want to know him. Do you know him? Okay. He said, he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? This is, to me, an offensive question. A man I have been with, we slept together, we ate together, and Jesus started by asking them, who do those denominations, who do they say that I am? See Peter and the rest. They said you are Jeremiah. The other one say you, in fact, they say you are Isaiah. Another one say you are the John the Baptist. That he say, is that what they are saying? Okay, no wahala. Then you now that has been with me, who do you say that I am? They started mutching their mouth. They started shaking their mouth. I'm telling you. They started, Jesus, no. They say, you are Jacob's son. Simeon said, no, his second son. You are Jeremiah. No. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wanted to start rejoicing. Jesus said, Chanyanyan, hold on, it was Expo. It was Expo. It was Expo. He said, Peter, you have gotten an Expo. Those days when we were in school now, you know how Expo is sweet. Especially the person that passed the Expo to you, you know the person knows book very, very well. And you say, oh boy, 6A is what? He said, B. You don't even check the distance, you just mark B there. That was what Peter did. Peter had in the spirit, thou art Jesus, the Son of the living God. He just echoed it. Jesus said, Kai, this is Expo. He said, Peter, he said, it was my Father who revealed this to you. No one knoweth the Father except the Son. And no one knoweth the Son except the person the Son or the Father will reveal either both to. They walk pari passu. Bringing it home, Jesus said, it was revealed to you by my Father. And we know Father is not a name. Let us look at the book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Let's bring out, who is this Father that revealed Jesus to the disciples? Who is this Father? He said, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of who? Laka, laka, laka. The child Jesus was found as the child of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ said to them, it was my Father, the Holy Ghost, according to Matthew we read, that revealed who I am to you. And it's that Holy Ghost that we have come to look for. Is the Holy Ghost who is the revealer of the intent and intentions of the heart of men. That is the person we have taken this labor for 21 days in order to know. Why? Because the giving of the Holy Ghost is a promise. The giving of the Holy Ghost is a promise. I want you to help me with the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at verse 1 there. And you go back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You go to verse 18. Let's see that 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1. Do you know him? He said, having therefore these promises. I said, the Holy Ghost, the Father is a promise. Hold on there. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. With this in mind now, take note of that. Having therefore these promises. Go to chapter 6, verse 18. Let us see that promises. Chapter 6, verse 18. He said, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, this is the promise that chapter, one of the promise that chapter 7, verse 1 is talking about. The promise is that if we have done ourselves good, by cleaning ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh, we will now attain the promise of God being our Father and we being his sons and his daughters. But what is left for us to do is to cleanse ourselves just as we are doing in this 21 days journey in order to obtain that promise, which is the Holy Ghost. Beloved of God, it is very, very important this time to see where Paul is coming from, that I may know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. How long have you been in Christendom? The last June camp we had of a truth, you received the Holy Ghost, but you still need more of the dose of the Holy Ghost. Because you wouldn't know the dimension the Holy Ghost is taking you to. And that needs for you to be humble. That needs for you to bring down yourself in order to receive that which the Lord wants you to get in this program. In the book of Luke where we read, Luke 11, 11 to 13, Jesus Christ is telling us that we can also ask of the Holy Ghost. That if we ask of the Holy Ghost, using comparison with our earthly father, he said he will grant it unto us. He said, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your own children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? We are asking for the Holy Spirit in humility, telling the Lord, we doesn't merit this, asking the Lord to look deep into our hearts and cleanse us of everything that will make us not to receive that Holy Ghost. But there are still things which you need to do by yourself. Let us see the book of that second book of Philippians chapter 2. Give me verse 12. There are actions You need to take consciously. You have to be alert. You have to take those actions deliberately. Look at what the admonishment. Now you've known how the book of Philippians came about. So when you are reading now, you are reading with this knowledge. Verse 12. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Take note now. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to say something. Those who are against internal security, those who are against salvation based on the finished work of Christ without our own contribution, this is one of the scriptures they erroneously take to support their claims. Let's see that scripture again. This is one of the scriptures they erroneously take to tell you that, look at it now, you have to do something because of your salvation. Take note of that statement. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Take note of that word. Work out your own salvation. Take note. Please, the Lord, you are here. Help us with this English. There are two different things. If you take out this out, you, O-U-T, when you remove that out, and you put for, F-O-R, the meaning will change to what they are saying. He said, work out. He didn't say work for. He said, work out. You work for what you are doing using your own effort to do. I work for my own salary. When I go to work, I am working 30 days because at the end, I have worked for that salary. If you don't pay me that salary, I will take you to the labor court. I will take you to the labor union because I have worked for it. I will take you to the court because you have refused to pay me what rightfully belongs to me. I have worked for it. But Apostle Paul, a very revelated man, his choice of words, you know, Apostle Paul was a lawyer. He's well read. So he knows the usage of words. Apostle Paul said, work out your salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. Now that you've received your salvation, your effort now is to make sure that you cleanse yourself from every filthiness that will make you as if you are not a Christian. Now that you have received your salvation, your own effort is to make sure you gather with the brethren in order to flow in the Spirit. Your own effort is to make sure that nothing brings you down to the salvation you've received. That is why he said, with fear and trembling. He said, walk out, not walk for. You don't walk for your salvation. You don't walk in order for your name to be written in the book of life. Your name was written before you were ever born. Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Why Paul was busy killing the Christians, why Paul was busy persecuting the church, Paul is a one that was separated from his mother's womb before he was born to be ordained into the gospel by grace. Did Paul work for it? Paul didn't work for it because the work was done before he was born. The The work was done before he was born. He got the revelation. He said, when the time came, there was an appointed time known to God. When the time came, God, who separated him from his mother's womb, long before he was born, called him into the gospel. Beloved of God, the time has come for you to work out your own salvation. Work it out with fear. Know that there are things the Bible have listed that when you don't undergo those things, you will be found wanting. We have come to receive the power of his resurrection. We have come to be aligned with those things he, the Lord, has caused us to know. Have you fallen by the way? If you are fallen by the way, clean up yourself. For the word says that a believer will fall 7 times. When you fall, rise up, because we want to know him. We want to know him. Not only knowing him, we want to also know that power that resurrected him. Why? Because if you don't know that power, when you die, you will not be resurrected. Because it's that power that resurrected him that will quicken your mortal bodies and you will be resurrected. How will you say you want to go to America and you don't know the way to America? You don't know the airplane that will take you to America. You have to know the airplane first before you embark on the journey. You have to know if you die, what will resurrect you? What will resurrect you when you die? And only this will be revealed to those who have gotten the Spirit. That is why Apostle Paul said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. Do you know the men there? These are the men that have taken the earthly things as their possession. They don't want to go anywhere. It has not been revealed to them what is beyond yonder. Hey, I want to repeat it again. Apostle Paul said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart. I want to put, paraphrase, the heart of those that doesn't know Christ. It has not entered their hearts. Because why? They've not known what is beyond this earth. He said, but God has revealed it to us. The us there are those who have gotten the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit has shown us what is beyond there, that Jesus Christ himself saw, and the Bible says, looking forward to what is said before him, he endured the cross even unto death. It's not good for the flesh to fast this long, but we have seen what is laid ahead of us in the Spirit. That is why we can intake to fast. The unbelievers, they say, I cannot fast, I cannot do it. Why? Because the things you are seeing, the things that have been revealed to your heart, has not been revealed to their hearts. You make sacrifices here on earth because there is something you have known that they doesn't know. There are experiences you have gotten that they doesn't have. That is why they see you upon we. Hey, Jesus. The man I was working with in Singapore, then Pongwi, he's a Buddhist. He has 7 gods. 7 gods. Early in the morning before we start work, he will lay the 7 gods. He will take his incense. He will pray to them, the 7. So when he sees me, maybe kneeling down and praying, he will turn and say, Kai, Kanina. He said, smart. Every day I come out, I see my God. I see my God. Seven. I pray to seven of them. Sure, one of them will answer me. One of them will answer me. You pray to God you don't see. How you think somebody you don't see can help you? The person you don't see, you need now, you talk to the person you don't see. Me, I see my God, seven. You see, the young man have not understood what I know about the things of God. And you saw recently in India, when their Hindu God was not first helping them to heal the coronavirus, oh boy, the vessel. The Hindu people, they say, they go there, they pay homage, they give gifts. They say, our brother has just contracted COVID-19. Please, our God, don't let our brother die. They do all the spiritual incantation they've known. After doing it, the brother will die, another family will die, another one will die, another one. Oh boy, they became angry, they packed all their gods, they began to throw it outside. They began to throw it away until the government saw, the gods they are throwing away is littering the street. Oh, the government went and started packing those gods that has eyes, but they could not see. But we see Pastor Moses standing here, and he said, I prayed for somebody in Germany. I prayed for somebody in London with COVID-19. And when I stretched forth my hand, he wanted to call the ambulance to come and carry him. I said, no, don't call the ambulance yet. Wait, let me finish the prayer of my God, because I know my God answered prayer. And he said, he stretched forth his hands to pray to his God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He called down his God. And do you know what? Less than 24 hours, the same person, the last one we saw, she said she have written her will. She wrote her will down, because physically, medically, she knows where she is going to. She's not going to come back. And pastor said, hold on, don't call them well. I have a God. That was the same God that slave girl introduced to Nehemiah. He said, I have a God. Before you call the government, let me first call my God. And if my God, anything my God cannot do does not exist. Anything my God cannot do does not exist. He said, wait, let me call my God. He's the final bus stop. When he said yes, it's yes, it's yes. And his name is nay. And Pastor Moses Alu called his God in less than 24 hours. In less than 24 hours. In less than 24 hours. The person that have written her will is now a living being. Child of God, put your hands together for our God. We serve our God with evidence. We serve our God with evidence. If you've not gotten that evidence to boast of your God, the hour has gone. Pastor Moses didn't fall from heaven. Apostle Paul, the scripture says that Elijah is a man of like passion like us. Pastor Moses didn't fall from heaven. If only you can key in to the revelations he's giving you about God, you can still operate in that frequency where they will want to bury somebody, where they will want to do something. You say, hold on first, let me call my heaven. If my heaven cannot answer this, oh yes, my God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, oh king, we are not careful to answer you concerning this matter. You want me to serve your God, but there is a God that we know. But let us wait. I don't want to boast too much. If this God does not answer us, let it be because we know who he is. And Nebuchadnezzar was actually waiting to know who that God is. And the God showed forth when they threw them into the furnace fire. Their God showed up. I decree, child of God, your God will show up in the name of Jesus. It's the time for you to call heaven. and heaven's doors will be open for you in the name of Jesus. Child of God, when you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have everything. The Holy Spirit is the totality of heavens and the earth, plus the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, plus everything that is existing, and those that have ever existed, and those that will exist after now, is put in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will help you to judge aright. When Paul met that little girl, the girl was saying something good. And every man of God will bring that same girl to their side, because what was the girl saying? The girl was saying, these are the servants of God. They are telling you the way to heaven. These are the servants of God. They are showing you the way to heaven. Was the girl saying bad thing? Was she saying anything bad? But it took the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says we should test all spirits. The spirit in Apostle Paul tested the spirit that was speaking through the girl, and found the girl, even while the girl was saying the right thing, but the spirit behind him was false. What gospel are you listening? What author are you hearing from? The word that may be out there may be Jesus, but the person speaking that word doesn't even know who Jesus is. Child of God, the hour has come for you to ponder through the things the scriptures has given us. Bow down your head. Begin to talk to heaven this hour. Talk to God. I don't know how long you've been into Christianity. You still have to know him. It's very, very certain. Apostle Paul, after 25 years of doing exploit, he has planted churches. He has healed the sick. The dead has risen through his ministry. The leper, the blind, the lame, wonders were done through his ministry. Beloved of God, you know what? After 25 years, Apostle Paul say, I want to know him. Is that your attitude this great morning? Is that the reason why you are embarking on this journey? It's a painful journey. It's not good to the flesh, but it's very, very enjoyable to the spirit. After 25 years, Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. Child of God, how long have you known him that you don't need any other spiritual advice? You don't need anyone to counsel you again. When you do something wrong and they are trying to align you to the things you don't know, you say, what do you want to teach me again? Christianity. Only 2 years, only 3 years. Apostle Paul said we should follow him as he followed Christ. He said the things that was written are written for our example. They are written for our example. Apostle Paul saying he wants to know Christ is for our own example, child of God. Are you like that publican that came before the altar? He said, Father, I'm not worthy to look at the heavens. I'm just a sinner. Child of God, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Opportunity is still here for you to know him. After 25 years, Apostle Paul wants to know him and to know the power of his resurrection. That is the power we've come to see. Talk to God. Talk to him. Talk to him before we move into the main prayer. Talk to him. Tell him to break that heart of stone. The heart of stone. The heart of stone will be so strong to feel that he has known everything about God. That is the heart of stone. That is not Paul. That is not Paul. He said, I want to know him.
Just
and the power
passion
of his resurrection. How far do you not think you have known him? You can make it alright, child of God. You can start all over again. You can start all over again.
When I adore you,
you can start all over again. Yes, you can. Yes, you
just
can.
Just one.
Yes, you can. Yes, yes, you can.
One purpose.
Thank you, Father. Apostle Paul said, we should present our body as a living sacrifice. Oh, Jesus.
If I have the time
to explain the meaning of that living sacrifice, how can a sacrifice again be living? Sacrifice is something you have offered. That is sacrifice. It's something you have offered. It's considered dead. A sacrifice is considered dead in the eyes of the Jewish man. In the eyes of the Jewish man, a sacrifice is something that is offered to God. Apostle Paul says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That was what he said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I am an offered. I am a sacrifice offered. I am dead with Christ. I am dead with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I am a living sacrifice. Oh, Jesus. Nevertheless, I live. Because I am already crucified, because I am already sacrificed, I live for the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. Oh Jesus, child of God, present yourself. Dear Papa, here I am. I want to present myself as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I want to live beyond the hatreds and the stratas of human understanding. I want to live beyond that. Oh. How can you tell an unbeliever that you are a living sacrifice? A sacrifice is supposed to be dead now. What are you doing there? Well, you are dead in Christ. You are sacrificed in Christ. Nevertheless, the living is what we want to live
you.
Now.
Because
our father Job asked, he said, if a man die, shall he live again? If you die without Christ, you will never live again. If you die in Christ, you will live again. You will live again. We want to live again. That is why we need the Holy Ghost. We want to live again. Heaven has promised.
All I want to do you, Jesus.
God is saying that yes, you are not crying for any man. You are crying because if you don't have that spirit, if you die, you will not live again. You will not live again. You will not live again. Apostle Paul says, give me verse 11 of that Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. The reason why Apostle Paul want to know the power of his resurrection. We want to see the reason. This is the reason. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That is why he want to get that spirit that resurrected Jesus. If he get that spirit, if I die, so that I will not be left in the grave on the day of resurrection. If I've gotten that spirit, I can resurrect child of God. If you don't have that spirit, if you die, you will never rise again. You will only rise in the white throne judgment. And that is the criminal court. No single person that goes there will come back. Because I understand in some judicial jurisdiction, when the judge wants to handle a case that everybody knows is either a murder case or a life sentence, the judge in different jurisdiction, they put on red. It's danger. In the white throne judgment, the judge is putting on red. He will put on red on that day, because no single person that will come to that court that will come back rejoicing. They will be given the reason why they were born in the pits of hell. Begin to talk to God. Tell him that you want to live again. When you die, you want to live again. Very lastly, give me the book of Job, chapter 14. Lastly, Job chapter 14 from verse 7. You need a scent of water. The scent of water, that water is the Holy Ghost that we need. The book of Job, he said, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Verse 8. He said, though the root thereof was old in the earth, and the stalk therefore die in the ground. Verse 9. Yet through the scent of water, that is the Holy Ghost, through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth bunch like a plant. Child of God, if you have that scent of water, that is the Holy Ghost, even though you die like a plant in the earth, even though you have been forgotten, when that scent of water touches that plant, oh Jesus, that plant will resurrect. That is why you need that scent of water. That is the Holy Ghost. You need it now before you go down. You saw the drama. The man, the angel was asking him, is your name in the book of life? He never made his call an election sure why he was here on earth. He never made it sure. He thought the things he was doing was salvation. But never did he know that he made mistake. Pastor Moses, by the inspiration of the Lord, has called us all to make our calling and our election sure before we depart from this earth. Talk to God. Talk to him this hour. Talk to him. Tell him you want to make your call and election sure. You need a sense of water. That water from above is the water that the plant needs. When that tree is hot down, is the water that it needs, is the water. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We give you praise. Be on your feet. I want to pray for you. Be on your feet. I believe you've been blessed. Be on your feet, child of God. Everything on this earth will pass away.
Give me you.
If you die, will you rise again? Lift up your hands to heaven. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Father. Give me that song.
Lord, give me you.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, God bless you.
Lord, give me you.
Yes.
Lord, give me you.
Yes, sing it aloud. Sing it aloud. I want to hear
Lord,
that voice.
Give me you.
Yes.
Lord, give me you.
Yes, yes. That is what
we ask.
Everything else have to wait. It's the time to make our call and election sure. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And verse 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. There are differences between seeing and entering. You can see and you may not enter. Moses saw the promised land. He saw the promised land, but Moses didn't enter. Child of God, you have repented. That is the sin. There is something you got to know that caught your attention. You began convinced and convicted, and you began to ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is the sin. There is something, your eyes of understanding was opened, and you saw something, but you need to be baptized with the water and the Holy Spirit. That is only when you can enter. I want to enter. Somebody say, I want to enter. I don't only want to see, I want to enter. Because there are those that saw but didn't enter. I want to enter. I want to enter. I want to enter. That is my cry and my plea. I want to enter. Enough of seeing. I want to enter. For you to enter, you must know the power that resurrected him. And knowing the power is to know him. I want to enter. I want to enter. I want to enter. Are you willing? Are you willing to enter? Are you willing to make your life alright? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for. Your salvation is settled, but you have to walk to make your calling that salvation. You have to walk out to make sure your name is actually in the book of life. Oh, Jesus. We want to enter, Holy Father. Yes, talk to God. Talk to heaven this hour. Talk to him. Tell him you want to enter. You have seen. Your eyes of understanding has been opened. That is the sin. That is the sin. You were blind before, and now you see. Amazing grace. That is the gospel of the hour. The entire message preached by Pastor Moses. Your eyes have been opened. You have seen now, but you have to make action to enter. to enter, you need to be baptized with the water and the Holy Ghost. If you've not been baptized correctly with water baptism, you've heard Jesus Christ himself. He says, you can see, but if you don't baptize and receive the Holy Ghost, you won't enter. Get yourself baptized and prepare for the Holy Ghost. It's coming. Holy Spirit is coming. It's coming. Yes, let me have that song. Holy Spirit, be my comforter. As I'm walking along the road, the road is so narrow. You need the Holy Ghost.
Be my comforter.
That is what you need this hour.
Holy Spirit.
Tell him you want to enter. You want to enter.
Take control.
Let it take control of your flesh and your spirit.
As I'm walking along the way,
each other.
The road
you
is
can't
so
narrow. That is why we are fasting. We can't do it on our
Holy
own.
Holy Spirit.
The road is very narrow. It's very narrow. We can't do it.
Be
humble, blessed,
Holy
and
Spirit.
In the spirit.
Holy Spirit.
That is what we are doing. Confess to him.
Be my comforter.
Prepare me for the Holy
Spirit.
Don't be ready before them.
Take control. As I'm walking along the way, the road is so narrow. Holy
up your hands. Godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. That should be our portion this evening. My Father and our good God, we've so humbly seen through the passages of your scriptures written by your son Apostle Paul. He says that those things were written for our example. And one of the examples he wanted us to learn is that after his 25 years in the ministry, he still cries, I want to know you. Daddy, upon that, I have spoken on a sermon topic, do you know him? Asking the people, how long have you been a Christian? You still have to know him. Because we can't know him more than enough. Daddy, this is what I told them. Holy Spirit, we beg of you, they have heard your word. Daddy God, they are willing even to put in more effort to see that your work in them doesn't become the things of old. Oh Jesus. Yes, Father. Oh Jesus, have mercy, Father. Yes, Jesus. Yeah. Yes, Father. Yes, Jesus. The Spirit is moving right now. It's moving right now. I can feel the Spirit. It's moving right now. I can feel it. Yes. It's moving right now. It's moving right now. Yes, Father. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving right now. Open the hearts. He wants to start with people here. Open the hearts. The Spirit is moving. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Father. It's moving, it's moving. Yes.
Holy Ghost, do
touch
your
heart
again.
Right now. Oh, Jesus.
Holy
okay,
you're
about to
give
up. It's moving right now.
Do it again.
It's moving. That is the Holy Ghost.
Do
it's moving.
Again.
I feel it so strong in my spirit. Yes, God. That is the cry. He has done a great work in you. I said to open your eyes. To see Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, Emmanuel. Yes, Jesus.
Seated upon the throne.
Yes, Jesus.
Jehovah,
yes. The works he has done in your life will not be a waste. It will not be a waste. He has suffered for you. He has suffered for you. He has suffered. Yes, my Father. Yes, Jesus.
Jehovah, you're
Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. He won't put you to shame. Trust him. Tide up on. Trust him. Give him a trust. He won't put you to shame. He won't put you to shame. I said, trust him. Okay, Baba. Just trust him. He won't put you to shame. Yes. He's been tested. He's been tested and certified. He's been tested and certified. He can't put you to shame. He can't put you to shame. Just open the hands. Thank you, Father. Yes, Jesus. Your good works in us will not be wasted, Father. Because of love, you left your throne. Love. Love is dangerous. I was meditating love today. I said, love is dangerous. Love made him to leave his throne, to die for people who weren't looking for him. Who weren't looking for him. We have gone astray, every man to his ways. But his love was looking for us. Ah, Father, we don't want to abuse this love. Thank you, Father, for what you have done. We give you praise. We worship you. As the people, we worship you and praise you. For us again to move into prayers. Accept all we are doing today. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Put your hands together for our God.